It's Monday, August the 10th, and this is Tim Pitchell back with another Procrastination Boo. Today I wanted to talk about a fellow down in Stanford University named John Perry. John's a philosopher. He hosts his own podcast. I think it's called Philosophy Talk, and an interesting person. I met him first through the web, and his essay that I'm going to talk about today called Structured Procrastination. I think it's one of the most read essays on procrastination on the whole internet. Again, it's Structured Procrastination, if you want to Google that. You can also find links to it, of course, through the Psychology Today blogs on procrastination.ca. I've written about John's stuff, and John and I actually did a National Public Radio and NPR radio broadcast together last summer. John's thesis is that we can kind of use our own weakness to be a strength, and this is what he discusses in terms of structured procrastination. I think it will interest many of you who procrastinate a great deal, figure you're never going to beat it, so how can I use it? And I think this is true for many of us. We can learn to use some of our weaknesses strategically to be strengths. This is how his argument goes. He starts by saying procrastinators all have excellent self-deceptive skills, and you have to be self-deceptive to do structured procrastination. Procrastinators need to put this skill to work for them in a subtle way, to actually make their procrastination work for them, as I said. As John Perry puts it, what could be more noble than using one character flaw to offset the bad effects of another? Given that we each always have a long list of tasks on our to-do list with various levels of importance, urgency, and aversiveness, we need to keep what appears to be an important task at the top of our list. That's one we also don't want to do, which really isn't that important or urgent. This is the self-deception part. So we're looking for something that's put at the top of our list, something which isn't really that important or urgent. Perry argues that this is quite easy and our lives are full of these sorts of tasks. They seem important and appear to have a fixed urgent deadline, but they really don't. With this task at the top of our list that we want to avoid, that's the key thing. You got to put something at the top of your list that you want to avoid, you don't want to do, and it apparently is urgent, but it's not. We'll now engage in other tasks instead, because as Perry notes, quote, procrastinators seldom do absolutely nothing. They do marginally useful things like gardening or sharpening pencils or making a diagram of how they reorganize their files when they get around to it. He's a funny guy too. Now, the thing is that, yes, we could, every one of us knows that sometimes by avoiding one task, we'll work on another. The problem, of course, is that some procrastinators don't work on any of their tasks. They lie down in front of the TV set or they play video games, etc. But if you follow this advice carefully, the consequence of this careful strategizing on our to-do list is that in order to avoid the task at the top of our list, we now engage in other worthwhile tasks lower down. Doing these things is the way we could avoid doing the top thing, and the procrastinator can even acquire a reputation for getting a lot done, as John Perry has. So that's an interesting twist on how we can make a procrastination habit an asset in our lives. You can learn more at procrastination.ca, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.